How convincing am I? How convincing am I? This is Dr. Herbert O'Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the thought for today. How convincing am I? When I want to live my life, and I want to choose my way of living my life, and I want to choose my values, how convincing am I? Am I thoroughly convincing in my values, in my way of thinking? Am I thoroughly convincing in believing who and what I am? In watching Betty White, a beautiful octogenarian actress, as she played in The Retriever's dog show, she played the lady who came to pick up a little puppy. And as she picked up the puppy, she was sort of indecisive as which puppy she wanted to have. And she didn't pick it up because of her heart. She picked it up because of... It really wasn't shown why she picked it up. She just picked it up, and among several others, and chose it and went home. And later, when the family went to retrieve the puppies because the children had been so in love with them, they wanted to have them back, they went to her house and knocked on the door, and she came to the door, and she was rather startled, and then she remembered that this was the family where she had picked up the puppy. And so then she put on the show that the puppy had been very disastrous in her house, had been gnawing on everything and chewing on everything and being angry with everything, and she lost her temper, she lost her cool about it. Well, now, Betty White does not lose her cool. Betty White is an actress who has been acting for many, many years and always acting in the role of a person who is a very responsible person, a very capable person, the person who always handles every situation in its ideal way. Now, that's a special person. You can be sure about that. And Betty White is that special person. But in this particular show, The Retrievers, she played the silly lady. She played the lady who was irritated because she brought home a puppy. And here she was, old enough to have seen 100 puppies come through her life if she wanted to do that. And it just was unbelievable. It just was unbelievable. How convincing are you? How convincing am I in my life? How convincing am I in who I believe I am? How convincing am I, first of all, to myself? Do I believe who I am? We all have opportunities in life to sit through all sorts of emotional dramas. Emotional dramas seem to be the play of the game. And the emotional dramas have two opportunities, just two. The emotional dramas have one opportunity to be you as the master in the emotional drama, or you as the slave in the emotional drama. Now, you would think, well, I would certainly like to be the master in any emotional drama. I'd like to be the master in any circumstance in my life, not just in emotional dramas, but I'd like to be convincing in any circumstance of my life. Well, to be convincing, you do not look at the circumstance. You look at who you are. You look at your attitude of life. You look at the values that you have. And as you look at the values that you have, these have nothing to do with the circumstances. If you are a loving, gentle, positive, dynamic person, you'll be a loving, gentle, dynamic, positive person under all circumstances. It will not matter if something wants to shake your boat. your boat is never shaken because you are always the master. Now, how many of you have driven a car? Well, most of us have driven a car. And when you drive a car, you feel quite confident. You drive your car, you're holding the wheel, you're using the brakes, and you're using your gas pedal, and you're in charge of all the mechanisms that make the car run like it's driven like a chauffeur. Your car is always under your masterly touch. Now, there are times that you make a slight movement this way or that way. You let your attention be drawn away, and you realize you're driving off the road. You pull back on the road again. You're not far off, but you're heading that way. And to you, it makes no difference because you're in charge. And you just say to yourself, I am the ideal chauffeur. I am the ideal chauffeur. I am the ideal chauffeur. And as you say that, your mind, your attitude, your way of doing anything is that of the ideal chauffeur. You are in charge of who you are, and you're convincing to yourself. However, if you have passengers in your car, and these passengers do not really believe in you. They say, oh, you're tired, you're not fully alert. Oh, you had so many things on your mind. Now, pay attention to your driving. Don't talk so much to all the rest of us in the car here. And you see, their attention is on your lack of skill, your lack of genius in driving. It may be true, you should pay more attention to what you're doing and so forth, but they should not say that, because the minute they say that, they empower that. Now, if they were to say, you are a wonderful chauffeur, you are a wonderful driver, you drive so beautifully, you drive so fantastically, it's a pleasure to ride in the car with you, then they're in charge. They're the master. They have taken charge of their circumstances, and they have painted it beautiful. They painted it good. They painted it wonderful. They painted it ideal. Now, how convincing are they? Do they really believe what they're saying, or are they saying it merely to get an effect? Do they really believe, are they really convincing in what they're saying? Now, am I convincing as saying I am an ideal chauffeur, and I drive beautifully, and as I drive so that everyone feels so at peace, at comfort, at home with my driving? Now, can I say that? I can, but do I believe it? Do I believe it? Do I feel I made a foolish move there? Or do I feel that I made an incorrect drive there? I didn't turn at the right corner. I didn't do this right. And then what do I feel about it? Now, if it bothers me, then you can be sure it bothers my passengers. Now, if it doesn't bother me, I don't know what my passengers think about it. I am not in the slightest bit interested because I am the ideal chauffeur. How convincing am I? How convincing am I in my thought, in my attitude about myself? How convincing am I? Oh my, we have to wonder about that, don't we? There was a little boy in the Retrievers, and he was an ordinary little 11-year-old boy, nasty sometimes and gentle sometimes, and a naughty brother and a happy brother, and a naughty son and a happy son. He played all those roles. But at one point, when he was aware of what his father was doing, when he was aware of the feelings that his father had to go through, how his father had to approach a problem, and how his father should have been at work, but stayed at home with the family as they were having their stressful situation. He felt being there with his family in their stressful situation was far more wonderful than being at work. And the wife mentioned that, and the older daughter mentioned that, and the younger son, he was aware of it, but he really wasn't fully aware of it. And then something dawned on him, and as the program progressed, the young son said, to his father, "I want to be just like you. I want to be just like you, Dad. I want to be just like you." And naturally, the father was happy and proud, and the mother was proud, and the daughter was proud. But primarily, who was playing the role? Was that son convincing? Did you believe that he really wanted to be like his father? There was an aura about his face, about his body, about his attitude, about his leaning toward his father. His whole countenance reflected how convincing he was in the statement that he made. All his foolishness just didn't seem to fit, but it was the thing a young boy might do. All of his nonsense and his irascibility and his insensitivity in the past just didn't really seem to fit, but it was what was expected of a child of that age who was always having everything his way. But when the child began to express his real nature, his real convincing nature, then he was really believable. Then everything after that one incident, his whole nature changed, and he became a very introspective, loving child, a child that any parent would delight in saying, "That's my child." He radiated outwardly all the magnificence that he was within. He was convincing. Before that, he was okay. He played a role of a naughty and ordinary child. But when he found this sensitivity to his father's love, he found this sensitivity to his father's caringness, even in spite of the fact that he had more important things to do than to be with the family. The father felt being with the family at that time was the most important thing in the entire world to him. And to retrieve the puppies that they had given away free after they were born, when they were told when the pups were whelped, they had to be given away. But the children loved them so much, and the family loved the puppies so much, they had to retrieve them. Now, that's in itself not too believing an incident, because it's just what happens in every family. And the father said, "We don't want them to get attached to these puppies because we're going to give them away." And they got attached, naturally. And they could not give them away. Now, how convincing was that show? It was so-so. It had areas in it that were superior, and it had areas in it that were very weak, very weak. The writers of that show were in themselves not totally convinced of what they were writing. The actors in the show were not so superior, so fantastic, that they could override the writer's lack of skill in writing. But a master, as that little boy, jumped into the role of being a respectful, responsible, loving child, it fit him. It just fit him. Before that, he was being contrary to his real nature. And after that, he was being totally one with his perfect nature, just like Betty White. We know her in so many roles, and we know her always as the ideal woman role. And playing this simpleton woman and playing this role, she couldn't quite get it. She couldn't quite get it because she was playing two contrary roles in one picture, one loving the puppies and wanting to pick one up and bringing it into her house and acting as though she didn't know that puppies chew on things and puppies are all sort of demanding. That's what everyone knows that. Everyone knows that a puppy is like that. Everyone knows that. But it tried to pretend that she didn't, as though she were foolish, as though she were unaware. How convincing am I? How convincing are you in life? How convincing are you in going around saying, I like me, and then acting like you don't like yourself? How convincing are you going around saying, I am a wonderful person, I am an ideal person, I am whole and perfect in every way, and then going around acting as though you are not a whole and perfect person, acting as though you're dependent on all of the crutches of life, acting as though you're dependent on the pills of life, that you're dependent on the cane and the walker and the wheelchair and all of these things that are just crutches for us. The little boy had a crutch of trying to be a naughty little boy, and it wasn't his nature. And when he was able to play his nature, he was superb. When the father was able to play his nature, not as the busy executive, but as a caring father, he was superb. And the mother was not as strong as she could have been, but she was all right. She was sort of like the in-between buffer. And the sister changed from a nasty older girl to a very nice girl. But that too was a change for the better. But it wasn't her true nature. Her true nature was being a snip. And you could see that. She played that so very well. She was so natural in that role. Now, as I look at you and as you look at me, what do you see? Do you see me playing my natural role? Or do you see me playing the role of something or somebody that is not for real? Do you see me acting as though I care about you or acting as though I don't care about you? Do you see me aware of the world and yet not aware? Do you ever have tears in your eyes when you are listening to a movie? Do you ever have tears in your eyes as you are hearing a stage play? It's obviously a play. It's not real life out there. It's something performed just for you. And what do you say? What do you think when you see that? What is your attitude about yourself and your life when you see that? All of us get tears in our eyes when we have a very maudlin show and we see something very sensitive and very caring. And as we have these tears, is that our reality? Is that our real nature? What is our real nature? Our real nature is either or. We are a master or a slave. If we are a slave, we are subject to the whys and wherefores of life. We are subject to the ups and downs of emotions, the ups and downs of attitudes, the ups and downs of the conditions of life. That's what happens with a slave. A master, whatever the circumstances are in life, the master looks at them, not pathetically, but looks at them with a confidence that says, how shall we handle this? Or a real master is so well trained, so well disciplined, so well practiced that when anything comes up in the environment of a real master, the real master already is in action before the incident really comes up. And he is balancing that incident. He's balancing the people. He's balancing himself mostly. He's balancing all the circumstances that are happening. And so what might have been a tragedy was no longer that way. It was just an incident in life without having any negative vibrations to it. If there was illness coming up, he saw it as health. If there was poverty coming up, he saw it as abundance. If there was misunderstanding coming up, he saw it as peace, balance, love, joy. He saw it in divine right order. This is what we want to train ourselves to do. How convincing are we? What is our real role? And as I ask myself, how convincing am I under any circumstance, I revealed to me and to my world exactly what my belief is about myself. Am I a master? All of us are going around shouting and touting and saying to the world, I'm a master, I'm a master, I'm a master. And then we get shook up at incidents and accidents and conditions here and there in our life. If you say I'm a master, then that's what I expect out of you. If you say I'm in charge of my life, then that's what I expect out of you. If you say I like me, then that's what I expect out of you. If I say I like me, that's what I expect out of me. Am I convincing when I say I like me? Ho, ho, ho. I think I am. I know I am. I believe I am. Do I believe I am the ideal chauffeur? Ho, ho, ho. You bet your life. Do I believe I'm the ideal husband? Oh, I know it. Do I believe I'm the ideal father? Oh, yes. Do I believe I have the ideal wife? Oh, yes. Do I believe I have the ideal son? Oh, yes. Do I believe that I am the ideal worker in my employment, whatever it may be? Oh, yes. Do I believe that I am me 100% and I say I am master? Yes, indeed. Are you responsible for anything that happens in your life? I know I am. And if anything happens in my life that's contrary to my highest good, as I understand it, somewhere I have left a little chink in my dam and the water came through. Somewhere I have allowed something to happen which is not for my highest good. And as I allow it to happen, it happens. Now, if rather than allowing it to happen, I immediately say, as I see trouble coming, all is in divine order. All is in divine order. But there are temptations in our life where we say, oh my goodness, what am I going to do now? What's going on? What are they doing? Why are they doing that? And you see, the moment I put the power on someone else to accomplish whatever they seemingly want to do, they are empowered to do it. But the moment I see anything going awry, and I stand forth and say, all is in divine order, then I am the master. I don't need to say it out loud. I don't need to go and tell the people that all is in divine order. I am in divine order, and as I am in divine order, then my world is in divine order. Oh, my world may still have its problems. It may still have its hang-ups. It may still have all of the frustrations that it wants to have. But as far as I'm concerned, my world is in balance. My world is harmonious. My world is joyous. My world is a delight. How can I say my world is a delight when I look out there and I see a problem? Because I am convincing in knowing who I am. And if I am divine, if I am right action, if I am all that is good, if I am all that is ideal, if I am all that is worthwhile, then you can be sure everything I do is a reflection of what I believe about myself and how convincingly I know who I am. Oh, I can train in the finest schools, but if I learn nothing, they are of no benefit to me. I can learn from the greatest teachers that ever walked the face of the earth, but if I do not really build that into myself, I am nothing. So today, when I say how convincing am I say I am absolutely convincing. I am absolutely happy. I am absolutely perfect. I am absolutely all that is good and very good. And it is a wonderful thing to be. It's a wonderful way to live. It's a wonderful, wonderful life to call my own, and to call my own right now. For there is no other time than now. My friends, know that I see you as convincing of your choice right now, as I am. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you.